Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're going to get local. Think local act, local.
Yeah.
If you think the American establishment is doing just a bang up job, this might not be the deep dive for you.
Right.
Fair warning, we're exploring some alternative perspectives here, and
yeah. Yep.
Things could get a little spicy.
That's right. We're diving into a collection of free ebooks.
Yeah.
From tomsfreebooks.com. And this author, let me tell you,
yeah,
has some pretty strong opinions about government and economics.
Yeah, so buckle up, right?
Yeah.
We're about to challenge some conventional wisdom.
Exactly.
We'll be exploring minimum wage debates, healthcare models, the role of government in the economy.
Absolutely.
All with a focus on how we can make a difference in our own communities.
It's all about understanding the power we have at the local level to create positive change.
All right, so let's jump right in. Our first stop takes us across the pond, to Scandinavia.
Oh, yeah.
A region often hailed as this socialist utopia. We hear a lot about how the U.S. should follow their lead, particularly when it comes to social programs.
Absolutely.
But our author presents kind of a different take on this so-called Swedish model.
What's often overlooked is the historical context.
Yeah.
Sweden's economic success, it wasn't built on a massive welfare state.
Right.
It was actually rooted in free market principles with a really strong emphasis on private property rights.
Okay.
And limited government intervention.
And get this, in the early 1950s, Sweden actually had lower taxes and less public spending than the United States.
Yeah.
That's a far cry from the image we often see portrayed.
It really challenges that notion that these large-scale government programs are the key to prosperity.
Right.
In fact, our author argues that Sweden's early commitment to economic freedom laid the foundation for the wealth that later allowed them to expand social programs. But the question is,
yeah,
can that level of spending be sustained over the long term?
Especially when you consider that social trust.
Right.
Which is often cited as a key ingredient for a successful welfare state.
Absolutely.
Might be eroding in Sweden.
Yeah.
Younger generations are experiencing the downsides of the system firsthand, and they're not as enthusiastic about it
right.
as their parents and grandparents were.
It raises a fascinating question. Does a large welfare state ultimately undermine the very social cohesion it relies on?
Now, Sweden isn't the only Scandinavian country that gets held up as a model.
Right.
Denmark consistently ranks as one of the happiest countries in the world, and people often point to its robust welfare state.
Of course.
As the reason, but our author kind of challenges that assumption.
He argues that just having material well-being doesn't guarantee genuine happiness.
Right.
And he points to some interesting facts to back this up.
Okay.
Denmark actually scores higher than the United States on measures of economic freedom.
Wow.
So it's not just about government handouts.
Right.
There's something more to the equation.
So if it's not just about a generous welfare state,
right,
what is it about these Nordic countries that contributes to their well-being? Well, our author suggests that you've got strong property rights protections and a culture of entrepreneurship play a significant role.
Mm.
It's a reminder that there are multiple paths to prosperity.
And that brings us back to the importance of thinking locally.
Absolutely.
Just because something seems to work in one context doesn't mean it'll automatically translate to another.
Right.
We need to consider the unique circumstances of our own communities.
Yeah.
And explore solutions that fit our specific needs.
Absolutely. Blindly copying models from other countries without considering the full context can lead to unintended consequences.
Now let's shift gears and talk about a topic that's closer to home and always sparks a heated debate. The minimum wage.
Yeah.
There's a strong moral argument for raising the minimum wage.
Sure.
No one who works full-time should live in poverty.
Right.
But our author digs into the economic realities and presents a different perspective.
He argues that raising the minimum wage can actually lead to job losses, especially for low-skilled workers, the very people it's intended to help.
And he uses a really powerful example to illustrate this point.
Okay.
Some military bases had to close their fast food restaurants.
Wow.
Because they couldn't afford to operate with a higher minimum wage.
It highlights that concept of what is seen and what is not seen.
Yeah.
We see the higher wages, but we often miss the jobs that are lost as a result.
Right. It's like squeezing a balloon.
Exactly.
You push on one end and it bulges out on the other.
And it begs the question, are there better ways to help low-skilled workers than simply mandating a higher minimum wage? What are the alternatives? Could we focus on skills training and creating more opportunities for advancement?
Those are important questions to consider.
Yeah.
Now let's dive into another complex issue
okay.
that directly affects our lives.
All right.
Healthcare.
Yeah.
Our author examines this through a fascinating case study.
Okay.
Atlas MD.
Right.
It's a concierge family practice that operates outside the traditional insurance and government-run system. Patients pay a flat monthly fee for unlimited access to their doctor, kind of like a subscription service.
Like a gym membership.
It's like paying a gym membership, but for your health.
Right.
Our author makes a compelling analogy.
Okay.
We don't use homeowners insurance to pay for lawn care.
Right.
So why are we using health insurance to pay for routine doctor visits?
It's a great point.
Yeah.
Treating basic health care like a catastrophic event has led to skyrocketing costs and decreased access.
Right.
This case study suggests that removing that third-party payer, like insurance companies,
yeah,
can empower both patients and doctors.
Right.
Leading to better quality and affordability.
It's all about putting the focus back on the doctor-patient relationship.
Right.
Which is something that often gets lost in our current system.
And it's about finding ways to make healthcare more accessible and affordable without sacrificing quality.
So what does this all mean for us,
yeah,
thinking and acting locally? Can we explore similar models in our own communities? Could we create local healthcare cooperatives or direct primary care practices that bypass the traditional insurance model?
Those are great questions to explore. Maybe there are solutions right in our own backyards that we haven't even considered.
Okay, now let's tackle another hot-button issue that's often framed as a national problem.
Okay.
Free trade.
Right.
There's a lot of anxiety about how trade agreements have led to job losses,
yeah,
and economic insecurity in the U.S.
Sure.
But our author presents a different perspective.
He argues that free trade ultimately benefits consumers,
okay,
by providing a wider variety of goods at lower prices.
Okay.
He acknowledges that there are job losses in certain sectors.
Right.
But he points out that this is a natural part of a dynamic economy.
He uses a really compelling historical analogy. Just like agricultural jobs declined as technology advanced,
yeah,
manufacturing jobs are now shifting.
Right.
Due to automation and global competition.
Of course.
Doesn't mean that we're worse off overall. It means that the economy is evolving, just like it always has.
It's about adapting and finding new ways to contribute and thrive in a changing world.
Exactly.
And it's about recognizing that change can be both challenging and exciting.
Yeah.
It can create opportunities for innovation and growth.
So instead of trying to cling to the jobs of the past, maybe we should focus on equipping people with the skills they need to succeed in the future.
Exactly. It's about investing in education, training, and entrepreneurship so people have the tools they need to adapt and flourish in a changing economy.
And that brings us to another hot button issue that often dominates the headlines. Income inequality.
Right.
There's a lot of anger and frustration about the growing gap between the rich and everyone else.
Of course.
But our author offers a thought-provoking alternative perspective.
He suggests that focusing solely on income inequality might be missing the bigger picture.
Yeah.
He argues that income inequality itself isn't inherently bad.
Okay.
What really matters is economic mobility and opportunity. Can people move up the economic ladder? Do they have the chance to improve their lives, regardless of where they started?
He emphasizes that a dynamic market economy has the potential to lift everyone's living standards over time.
Right.
Even if the gap between the top and bottom widens.
Exactly.
And to illustrate this point, he shares a PowerGirl statistic. The average poor person in the world today is better off than the average person in 1800.
That's a pretty mind-blowing statistic.
It really puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
Even as the gap between the richest and poorest has grown,
yeah,
the overall standard of living has improved dramatically for everyone.
Exactly. So instead of simply demonizing wealth, maybe we should be celebrating the achievements of successful innovators and entrepreneurs.
Right.
After all, their innovations often lead to new products and services that benefit everyone, create jobs, and drive economic growth.
It's about recognizing that economic success isn't a zero-sum game.
Right.
One person's success doesn't have to come at the expense of another's.
Yeah.
And it circles back to our theme of thinking and acting locally. What can we do in our own communities to foster entrepreneurship, create opportunities, and empower people to improve their lives?
That's a great question. Maybe it's about supporting local businesses, mentoring young entrepreneurs, or advocating for policies that encourage innovation and economic growth at the local level.
Now, our author also delves into a topic that's particularly relevant to the Think Local theme, the role of government in our lives.
Okay.
He argues that we often place too much emphasis on national policies and lose sight of the power and importance of local action.
He contends that real change often starts at the community level, where we have a more direct impact on the issues that affect us most directly. We don't always have to wait for the federal government to act. We can often make a difference right where we are.
It's about taking ownership of the challenges we face in our communities and working together to find solutions. It's about being proactive and engaged citizens, not just passive recipients of government programs.
And it's about recognizing that local solutions are often more tailored to the specific needs of a community and can be more effective than one-size-fits-all national policies.
Now, I know we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, but there's one more point I want to highlight from our source material that really resonated with me. Our author argues that a lot of the anxiety we have about the economy and job security stems from a fear of change.
That's a really insightful observation. Change can be scary, especially when it comes to our livelihoods.
He points out that economic change, whether it's driven by technology, globalization, or simply shifting consumer preferences, is a constant. It's the nature of a dynamic economy. It's always evolving.
It's like trying to hold back the tide.
Yeah.
You can't stop it, but you can learn to surf.
Exactly. And instead of resisting this change, he encourages us to embrace it.
Right.
To be adaptable, willing to learn new skills.
Yeah.
Explore new opportunities and see change not as a threat, but as a chance for growth and innovation.
It's about having a mindset that's open to new possibilities and being proactive in shaping our own economic destinies.
And that perfectly encapsulates the spirit of thinking and acting locally.
Absolutely.
It's about taking ownership of our lives, our communities, and our economic futures. It's about recognizing that we have the power to create positive change right where we are.
And that we don't have to wait for someone else to do it for us.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into these thought-provoking ebooks from tomsfreebooks.com, what stands out to you?
You know what stands out to me? Mm-hmm. It's just this reminder that there are many different ways to approach these complex issues, like economic prosperity, social welfare, and the role of government.
Yeah.
And that there's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Right.
What works in one context might not work in another.
Exactly.
We need to be willing to challenge our assumptions, explore different perspectives, and think critically about the systems we live in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's about engaging in thoughtful dialogue, even when we disagree. And being open to learning from each other.
Yeah.
And it's about remembering that we all have a role to play in shaping the future we want to see.
Absolutely.
And it's about remembering that change starts with us as individuals and as communities. We can't just sit back and wait for someone else to fix things. We have the power to make a difference right where we are.
It's about empowering ourselves to think differently, to challenge the status quo, and to explore new ways of doing things.
Exactly. And that brings us back to the whole reason we embarked on this deep dive in the first place. These ebooks from tomsfreebooks.com are a call to action. They're a challenge to think critically about the systems we live in and to find ways to make them work better for everyone, starting at the local level.
It's not about blindly accepting any one ideology or solution. It's about engaging in thoughtful dialogue, considering different perspectives, and finding what works best for our own communities.
So to our listeners, we want to hear from you. What resonated with you most from this exploration of thinking and acting locally? What do you inspire to do differently in your own community?
What steps can you take to promote economic freedom, individual responsibility, and a thriving marketplace of ideas right where you live?
Remember, real change starts with us. We can't just talk about it. We have to act. So go out there and make a difference. And if you're looking for more food for thought, be sure to check out the free ebooks at tomsfreebooks.com. There's a wealth of information there to help you continue your journey of thinking and acting locally.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it sparked your curiosity and inspired you to think differently about the world around you.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep making a difference.
It's about investing in education, training, and entrepreneurship so people have the tools they need to adapt and flourish in a changing economy.
And that brings us to another hot button issue that often dominates the headlines.
Oh, yeah.
Income inequality.
Right.
It's a lot of anger and frustration about the growing gap between the rich and everyone else.
Of course.
But our author offers a thought-provoking alternative perspective.
He suggests that focusing solely on income inequality might be missing the bigger picture.
Okay.
He argues that income inequality itself isn't inherently bad. What really matters is economic mobility and opportunity. Can people move up the economic ladder? Do they have the chance to improve their lives regardless of where they started?
Right.
He emphasizes that a dynamic market economy has the potential to lift everyone's living standards over time, even if the gap between the top and the bottom widens. And to illustrate this point, he shares a powerful statistic.
Okay.
The average poor person in the world today is better off than the average person in 1800.
That's a pretty mind-blowing statistic.
Yeah.
It really puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
Even if the gap between the richest and poorest has grown, the overall standard of living has improved dramatically for everyone.
Exactly. So instead of simply demonizing wealth, maybe we should be celebrating the achievements of successful innovators and entrepreneurs.
Right.
After all, their innovations often lead to new products and services that benefit everyone, create jobs, and drive economic growth.
It's about recognizing that economic success isn't a zero-sum game. One person's success doesn't have to come at the expense of another's.
Right.
And it circles back to our theme of thinking and acting locally. What can we do in our own communities to foster entrepreneurship, create opportunities, and empower people to improve their lives?
That's a great question. Maybe it's about supporting local businesses, mentoring young entrepreneurs, or advocating for policies that encourage innovation and economic growth at the local level.
Now, our author also delves into a topic that's particularly relevant to the think local theme, the role of government in our lives.
Okay.
He argues that we often place too much emphasis on national policies and lose sight of the power and importance of local action.
He contends that real change often starts at the community level, where we have a more direct impact on the issues that affect us most directly. We don't always have to wait for the federal government to act. We can often make a difference right where we are.
It's about taking ownership of the challenges we face in our communities and working together to find solutions. It's about being proactive and engaged citizens, not just passive recipients of government programs.
And it's about recognizing that local solutions are often more tailored to the specific needs of a community and can be more effective than one-size-fits-all national policies.
Yeah, I know we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, but there's one more point I want to highlight from our source material that really resonated with me. Our author argues that a lot of the anxiety we have about the economy and job security stems from a fear of change.
That's a really insightful observation. Change can be scary, especially when it comes to our livelihoods.
He points out that economic change, whether it's driven by technology, globalization, or simply shifting consumer preferences, is a constant.
Mm.
It's the nature of a dynamic economy. It's always evolving.
It's like trying to hold back the tide. You can't stop it, but you can learn to surf.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And instead of resisting this change, he encourages us to embrace it. To be adaptable, willing to learn new skills, explore new opportunities, and see change, not as a threat, but as a chance for growth and innovation.
It's about having a mindset that's open to new possibilities and being proactive in shaping our own economic destinies.
And that perfectly encapsulates the spirit of thinking and acting locally.
Absolutely.
It's about taking ownership of our lives, our communities, and our economic futures. It's about recognizing that we have the power to create positive change right where we are.
And that we don't have to wait for someone else to do it for us.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into these thought-provoking ebooks from tomsfreebooks.com, what stands out to you?
You know what stands out to me? It's just this reminder that there are many different ways to approach these complex issues, like economic prosperity, social welfare, and the role of government. And that there's no one-size-fits-all solution. What works in one context might not work in another. We need to be willing to challenge our assumptions, explore different perspectives, and think critically about the systems we live in.
Absolutely. It's about engaging in thoughtful dialogue, even when we disagree, and being open to learning from each other. And it's about remembering that we all have a role to play in shaping the future we want to see. And it's about remembering that change starts with us as individuals and as communities. We can't just sit back and wait for someone else to fix things. We have the power to make a difference right where we are.
It's about empowering ourselves to think differently, to challenge the status quo, and to explore new ways of doing things.
Exactly. And that brings us back to the whole reason we embarked on this deep dive in the first place.
Mm.
You know, these ebooks from tomsfreebooks.com are a call to action.
Right.
They're a challenge to think critically about the systems we live in and to find ways to make them work better for everyone, starting at the local level.
It's not about blindly accepting any one ideology or solution. It's about engaging in thoughtful dialogue, considering different perspectives, and finding what works best for our own communities.
So to our listeners, we want to hear from you. What resonated with you most from this exploration of thinking and acting locally? What are you inspired to do differently in your own community?
What steps can you take to promote economic freedom, individual responsibility, and a thriving marketplace of ideas right where you live?
Remember, real change starts with us.
Yeah.
We can't just talk about it. We have to act. So go out there and make a difference. And if you're looking for more food for thought, be sure to check out the free ebooks at tomsfreebooks.com. There's a wealth of information there to help you continue your journey of thinking and acting locally.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it sparked your curiosity and inspired you to think differently about the world around you.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep making a difference.